Okay. What? You too? We should get out of here pretty soon then. Okay, open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. And we'll pray before we get started. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the many blessings you've given us. And Lord, I just thank you for a place to meet, Lord. We're still a free country where we can open your word together and glorify you. And Lord, I just pray that this message would honor and glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to talk to you tonight about giving glory to the Lord. And in Daniel chapter 5 here, it's a familiar story. It's about Belshazzar and his drunken party. And we're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar and we're going to look at Belshazzar and see what happened to them when they failed to give glory to God. Okay, so we'll start reading in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 18. And this is actually what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. This is Daniel before he reads the handwriting on the wall to Belshazzar, and they called him in. And so he's reminding Belshazzar what happened to his father. Verse 18, O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Verse 21, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Now, he's reminding Belshazzar of what happened to his father. And we'll go back to Daniel chapter 4 in a minute and read about what else happened to Nebuchadnezzar. But so, God had to use extreme measures to take away Nebuchadnezzar's glory from him to wake him up. And then if we look at, let's go back to, after 7 years, he finally did wake up. So he went and ate grass for 7 years. While it took him that much time to wake up before he realized what he had done, what were the consequences. Okay, so let's look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. This is after Daniel had interpreted his dream, and so this is Nebuchadnezzar's reaction to after Daniel interpreted his dream. The king spake and said, Is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom, by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. So while he was speaking, he's like, this is mine, I built it, you know, I don't need God, whatever, you know. And in that moment, when he was saying that, God took his kingdom from him. Now it's a familiar story, and Nebuchadnezzar, he just went nuts. God took his mind, his sense from him. He went out into the field, and he said his hair grew like eagle feathers. He grew claws, his hair grew long, and he was eating grass for 7 years. And that's pretty extreme, you know. You might say that maybe that's not going to happen to me. You never know. You know, I don't want to tempt God, but it depends on the individual. Now let's look at chapter 5. We'll look at Belshazzar. Verse 22, And thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk the wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron and wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. Okay, so verse 22, at the end of it, thou hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Okay? So Belshazzar knew what happened to his father. I mean, that's not a family story that kind of disappears, you know, when, you know, your dad ate grass for 7 years and grew long nails and long hair and your fingernails grew out, you know. That's not something that just gets kicked by the wayside in family history. People tend to remember stuff like that. So he knew. And we'll keep reading. I'll get into that a little later. But he knew what happened to his father. So that's an example he had. So Belshazzar didn't really have any excuse. Let's keep reading. It's at the end of verse 23. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Belshazzar was just having fun. He knew what happened to his dad. He knew what his dad did. He knew that his father eventually did get his heart right back in at the end of Daniel chapter 4, verse 37. Actually, verse 36. At the same time, this is Nebuchadnezzar, the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So that's a pretty tough lesson to learn. You know, get your kingdom taken away from you. In 1 second, in one instant, God took everything that he had. He even took his mental capacity away from him, because he said that his mind returned unto him, or his reason returned unto him. So he couldn't even reason like a normal human being. He was wallowing around like an ox in a field. And so having known all that, Belshazzar still did not glorify God. Verse 24 of chapter 5. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. This is the handwriting on the wall. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharshin. I think that's how you say that. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Okay, so he gets killed. His father had his kingdom taken away from him, but then 7 years later, he realized what he did and he learned his lesson. Belshazzar didn't learn his lesson. Earlier in the chapter, when Daniel first gets there and he explains stuff to him, he's like, oh, put a robe on him, give him gold, put, you know, do all this stuff to Daniel. And Daniel's like, no, and he explains the dream. And then even still, at the end of the chapter, he still wants to put gold and chains on him because he's still wanting to praise Daniel for what he did and not glorify God. So he's still not getting it. And he still refused to glorify God. Okay? So you might say, well, how come he didn't give Belshazzar the same chance he gave Nebuchadnezzar? Why didn't he just turn him into a beast, you know, for 7 years and then let him wallow around and let him have the same chance? Well, he did. He had his father's example, and he also, well, it's okay. Nebuchadnezzar knew the truth. He was told the truth, so he heard the truth, and then he rejected the truth. Same thing Belshazzar. He knew what his father did. He got the interpretation of the dream, and then he still rejected the truth. So he still had plenty of chance, and this was his last chance, and then that was it. God was done with him. He didn't have anything else to say because he would not soften his heart. Okay, same thing with us as second and third generation Christians. We have a responsibility to follow what the Bible says, because our parents have learned lessons that we shouldn't have to learn. And we know we have the truth, we hear the truth, but if we don't apply the truth, it does us no good. If you're not using God's word to glorify him, you're not using your everyday life to glorify God, what's the point of coming to church, you know? If you're just going to go through the motions, what's the point if you're not going to glorify God? So that's a tough lesson. So they both received signs, and they both rejected God. Let's look at another example. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah 13 and verse 15. It says there, hear ye and give ear. Be not proud, for the Lord hath spoken. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while you look for light, he turn it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Beginning of verse 15, hear ye and give ear. So listen. Listen, be not proud, for the Lord has spoken. Give glory to the Lord. That's not a question mark. That's a commandment. Give glory to God. Give glory to the Lord. And we should do that. You know, we go through our everyday lives and we don't think to give glory to God. There's so many things that happen every day that we could give glory to the Lord for, and we don't. We take the credit upon ourselves and we ignore God. Okay? It's a commandment, so God commands it because God deserves glory. God deserves to get glory from us. He's a jealous God, Exodus 34:14. God is a jealous God, and he commands glory, and he deserves glory. Let's look at verse 17. But if you will not hear, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. You know, that's the same thing being the Lord's flock is being carried away captive today. You know, the modern church movement, it's sweeping across our whole country in Bible-believing Baptist churches, you know, with apostasy, false doctrine, contemporary Christian music. And you know, God doesn't get glory out of contemporary music. It's such a joke. I mean, you see the people up there, they're swaying their heads back and forth. They're moving back and forth. And when they're doing that, they're not giving glory to God. They're drawing attention to themselves. And the music and the guitars and the drums, that's drawing attention to the people playing the instrument. That's not giving glory to God. God does not get glory out of that. And I don't get a blessing out of it. Personally, it's kind of annoying. But God doesn't get glory out of that kind of stuff. And verse 18, let's look at the same chapter, verse 18. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down, for your principalities shall come down, even the crown of your glory. Humble yourselves, okay? So basically my first point is, give glory to God or he will take yours. Give glory to God or he will take yours. Even the crown of your glory. God will take your glory from you if you're not willing to give glory to God. Because in order to give glory to God, you have to be able to humble yourself. You have to first humble yourself before you can give glory to God. Because if you're not, just like Nebuchadnezzar, he's looking around, he's full of pride. This is mine, I built all this. And then God cut him down because he did not give God the glory. Verse 22 and 23 of the same chapter. And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered, and thy heels are made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Do good that are accustomed to do evil. So you have to change your ways. You have to change. Not Obama kind of change. I mean real change, you know. Therefore will I scatter them as a stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord. Now this ties it all together. This is why. Because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. There's false doctrine. There's falsehood. There's the modern church being drawn away from God by falsehood. They want to believe a lie, so God lets them believe a lie. They're being drawn away. So that's that. And that's why it all happens. Because we forget to glorify God. We must remember to glorify God. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 9. The next one. Cast it up. What can we glory in? What's something you can glory in? Chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Now remember from Daniel chapter 4 and 5, who gloried in their might, their power, and their riches? It was Nebuchadnezzar. We all remember what happened to him. I hope you remember. That was only a couple minutes ago. In verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So you can glory in knowing your Savior. You can glory in knowing God. knowing God personally. God wants to know you personally. God wants to know me personally. But if you don't open his book and read his mind, how are you going to get to know him personally? God wants us to understand his mind. He gave us his word so that we can get to know him better. But if we don't, we're no different than Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. We're just living it on the Christian side of the coin in the New Testament, under the New Testament covenant. So let's see where I lost my spot now. Let's look at, get to know God, open his word, and learn the mind of your creator. Now let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brethren, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. We need to glorify God's word. That's another thing you can glory in. Glorify God's word. Brag about God's word. Because we all talk about proclaiming the gospel. We all walk the walk, talk the talk. But are you living it in here? That's the key thing. Proclaim the gospel. And glorify God's word. Now what else can we glorify in? 1 Peter chapter 4. The glory in God's word. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Let's see. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified, through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Glorify in all things? Whew. That's a tough one. I mean, I don't know about you, when someone cuts me off on the highway and I'll say, "Woo, glory to God," you know, I'm thinking of something else. Run them off the road, you know, I'll fix you, I'll cut you off next, you know. But I mean, in all things, glory through Jesus Christ, in whom be praise and dominion forever and ever, amen. In all things. That's a tough thing to do. You know, you think about all the things that happen in life, all the trials that happen in life, all the bills that don't get paid, all this stuff. But you're supposed to glory in that because God has a plan. We don't understand it. With my pea brain, I sure don't understand it. But we have to trust him and follow him because he knows the best. Okay, let's look at 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. How to glorify God. First Chronicles 16, verse 9. And this is the children of Israel. They get the Ark of the Covenant. And this is Asaph. They're singing this. David writes this song. But this is an idea of, this is what God deserves to hear from us. So this is an example of what we should do when we glorify God. It says, "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." There's the heart right there. That's the whole key. Verse 11, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually, all the time." It's all about your heart motive. You know, if your heart's not in it, God knows it. You know, I mean, we sang up here, but only God knows how many of our hearts were in it when we were up there singing it. Everybody out here, we could fool everybody out here, but you're not fooling God. And that goes for everybody, not just the people singing up here. That goes for everybody. God can see through you. You're not fooling anybody but yourself. Okay. Verse 23, let's continue with this. "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations." Glory. Declare his glory. Tell everybody about his wondrous works among the heathen. That's the unsaved. You know, obviously, this is Old Testament, but for us, the heathen are the unsaved. You know, people are walking down the street every day that have never heard the gospel, and we're supposed to tell them. That glorifies God. Telling others glorifies God. Verse 25, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name." God deserves glory from us. He deserves glory from us, so we should give it to God. He created us. He deserves the glory. Let's see, where is it going to pick up? Let's keep going. "Fear before him, all the earth, the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof." See, there's waves, there's surfing. I had to tie that in somehow. "Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Amen. "And say ye, save us, O God, from our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." And all the people said, "Amen, amen," and praised the Lord. That's how we should be glorifying God. If you're going to sing, try to sing that one. That's a mouthful. But try to sing that one to God. That's an idea of how I can glorify God, by singing to him. He gets a blessing out of that. Now, it's all about the heart. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5:12. "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." That's it right there. You can glory in appearance, but not in heart. God sees that. It's like I mentioned before. You can fool everybody. You can fool the world. You can fool your coworkers. You can fool the people in church. But you can't fool God. God knows if you're truly glorifying him with your heart, and that's the key. That's the key. And if your heart's right, if your heart's motive is right, that's when you can glorify God. Because if your heart's not right, then you're not glorifying God. You're thinking about yourself. You're not thinking about God. When you're focused on the flesh and what the flesh wants, you can't glorify God because your heart's not right. And he deserves the glory. Let's go 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Why does God deserve the glory? First Chronicles 29, verse 11. I got a lot of scripture, so I might just start reading it. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the..." Verse 11. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." Isaiah 43, verse 7. "Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God, the God that created the universe, created you and me, and he created us for the purpose to give glory to him. It glorified God to make us. But what's the point of God creating us if we're not going to return the favor and give glory to him, you know? So he deserves the glory because he created you and me. And it's pretty selfish of us if we were created. God let us have life. Remember, in Daniel chapter 5, it talked about God holding Belshazzar's breath in his hand. God holds our breath in his hand. And if for us to ignore that same God that holds our breath in his hand, that's pretty prideful. That's pretty hard-hearted. That's not humility. That's pride. So God deserves the glory. He deserves to get glory from us. Romans chapter 5. What else can we glory in? Romans chapter 5. And verse 23. Oh, that's the wrong one. No, verse 2. Romans 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Glory in tribulations? That's like glorying in all things. What's the first thing you want to do when something starts going wrong? I know about you, but for me, it's not glorifying God. I'm like, oh, why is this happening to me? Why'd you have to pick me? There's plenty of other people out there. Why don't you pick somebody else, you know? But God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. We're supposed to glory in tribulation. That gives glory to God. God gets a kick out of that. And look at that little fool. He's glorifying and he's got both of his legs broke. Glory to God, you know? I don't know about that's a tough one. Like Pastor said, I always get kind of depressed when you start reading Paul's writings. Like, how do you do that? Making us all look bad. And let's see. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Same page. Romans 6, verse 4. How else does God get glory? Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. By the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. Walking a holy life, living for the Lord, glorifies God. You know, if we're not living for God, then God's not getting the glory out of it. You know, you can be saved, you can be born again, and not live your life for God. But just like Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to pay the consequences. Because God might not take it out on us right now physically, but spiritually, when you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and you see all your works go poof, and go up and come down in wood, hay, and stubble, that's when you pay the price right there. You may not pay it now, but you will pay it later if you're not walking in newness of life. So why wait? Let's do it right now. Live for God. Live a holy life. Do you want to glorify God and honor his sacrifice for you? Then walk in newness of life. Lord likes that. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse 17. What should we not glory in? I have therefore whereof I may glory through Christ, Jesus Christ, in those things which... No, that's the wrong one. This is another thing to glorify God in. Through Jesus Christ and those things which pertain to God. We should glory in anything that pertains to God. So if, you know, the world is just... They just fixate us on stuff that we can get, stuff that we can have, and none of it pertains to God. None of it has to do with God. But we're all just distracted. It's all distractions to get us to lose our focus on God. You know, and we're all infatuated with... you know what? Let's look at another one before we go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians 3, verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Therefore, let no man glory in men. So that's what we should not be glorying in, is men. You know, it's so easy to glorify, you know, like a sports athlete or something. There's one thing to say, yeah, that guy is really good. You know, he plays football really well or basketball really well. But when people are going there to the games, they never miss a game. And they're, oh, he's so great. And his stats are this and that. And, oh, boy, you know, oh, whoop-de-doo, you know. But Americans are infatuated with this, with worshiping and glorifying sports players, rock stars, movie stars, the rich and famous. We know what the funny thing is? None of those people have inner peace. You cannot have inner peace without Jesus Christ. The average person, those people, they're all looking for something. They don't know what, but they're trying to find it through drugs, they're trying to find it through money, fame, cars, whatever. And then a lot of them die from an early age from a drug overdose, because they're looking for something and they don't know what they're looking for. And it's all vanity and envy, like, I wish I had that, or, oh, if only I had more money. But the flesh is never satisfied. You know, you can get a new car, but you know what? There's always going to be a newer model coming out next year. You know, I want a bigger house, but there's always a nicer one next door. You know, I want more money. You can never have enough money. People, even the richest men in the world, are never satisfied. They always, it's corruption, it's money, it's this, it's that. But it's all distractions to keep us from glorifying God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. That sums up sports athletes right there. Vainglory. Guy, 6'8", you know, LeBron James makes a giant dunk over a 6-foot-tall point guard. You know, congratulations, pal. You know, I mean, that it's just vain. It's just vanity. Vanity of vanity. All is vanity. It just doesn't make sense. I mean, it makes sense down here, but once you get up into heaven, vainglory is not going to mean a thing. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 3. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Lowliness of mind, that's humility, that's humbleness. That's a humble heart. That's what we went through before. I mean, how many people walk down the street and say, oh, that person's better than me? No, it's usually the other way around. Huh, I got better clothes than them. I'm better dressed, you know. Oh, that person, look at how they're dressed. They got tattoos, they got earrings, they're smoking a cigarette. They're not saved, you know. What makes me better than that person? What makes you better than that person? Nothing. We're all glorified dirt balls. We're going to all go to hell, you know, except for Jesus Christ. He saved our souls. And that's a lost soul walking down the street. I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. You see someone walking down the street, oh, look at them. Oh, yeah, I'm better than them. And then you have to stop and think, but wait a minute. What, do I have a track? Can I go give them a track, you know? I don't know how many times I've judged people and then walk away and later on think, I should have given them a track. What was I thinking, you know? You're thinking about yourself, okay? So why should we not glory in men? Obviously it's vain, but 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1 verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. All the glory in this life, all the riches, all the cars, is all going to burn up. It's all going to fade away. So what's the, I mean, you know, we need to set our eyes on things above, not on things down here. Because all this is going to burn up, you're going to die, you can't take anything that you own here with you up to heaven or in hell. You know, it all depends on where people are going. God only knows. But people are just building the kingdom, and it's all about the American dream and getting more and getting more. It doesn't mean anything because it all withereth. It's all going to wither away. It's all going to die. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to set our sights on the eternal things of God, not the temporal things on the earth. And that's the devil's distraction. If he can get us concentrated and focused on what we shouldn't be doing, then he doesn't have to worry about us going and knocking on doors and preaching the gospel. If he's got us fascinated with sports and TV and video games or new cars, new house, money, job, career, whatever, it's a distraction from what we should be glorifying God and walking the Christian life. Okay, what else can we glorify in? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. We need to glory in our Savior. We need to glory in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ did for us. You know how the song goes? Save, save, glory, I'm saved. We need to glory in our Savior. We need to glory in His sacrifice for us. Praise the Lord for His wondrous sacrifice. Galatians chapter 1. Verse 3. Grace be unto you, be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ deserves the glory. For one, he created us to give glory to him. He created us, he made us, he created the world, the universe, he gave us all this to inhabit. He saved our souls from eternity in hell, and he's preparing a place for us. Now, why would we not glorify him when he's done all that for us? All we have to do is be his worker bees down here and spread the gospel for him. And we still fail at that. We still fail at that. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The Father of glory. Jesus, God, he is the Father of glory. He is the author of glory. He deserves our glory. He deserves our praise. And we still fail to give it to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He's the Father of glory. He's the author of glory. He's the Lord of glory. He defines glory. So we still don't glorify him. He still doesn't get the glory that he deserves because we're too concentrated on ourselves. He's the Lord of glory. He's the King of glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. No, I already did that one. Never mind. Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's try that one. I don't think I did that one. Yep, did that one already. Never mind. Okay. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 1:10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. One day we're going to be able to stand and glorify God together, all of his saints together. We're going to be able to glorify God, and that's going to be something else. That's going to be something else to be able to see our Savior face to face. I mean, I still can't imagine how it's going to be completely, but it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. There's another one that I wanted to do, but I can't find it. Okay, well, I guess I'll have to skip that one. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. In verse 1. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. That's us right there. We're going to sing, we're going to say that to Jesus Christ one day, all of us together in unison. That's going to be something. I can't wait till that day. But you know what? Let's not wait till that day to glorify God, because we're going to have to stand before Him before this day comes. Before this day right here in Revelation, this is it. This is the end. Let's not wait until when we get to heaven to see Jesus Christ to glorify God. Let's live for God and glorify God today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for just your honor and your glory, Lord. And I pray that this message glorified you. And Lord, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And Lord, I pray that we would apply this truth to our lives, and that we would just seek to glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.